Like I mentioned in the opening, today we're going to talk a lot about numbers. Some numbers that we need to remember on this day, September 11th, are not like the other numbers that we're going to talk about in a little bit. These numbers resulted when two planes crashed into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, when an additional plane struck the Pentagon, and when another plane crashed outside of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The first two planes killed 2,750 people, including more than 400 police officers and firefighters rushing to the scene and into the towers. The third plane killed 184 people at the Pentagon, while 40 perished, bringing down the fourth plane, heroically preventing who knows how many more deaths. The 9/11 attacks performed by 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists resulted in substantial long-term health consequences for those who survived, and it has been estimated to have cost at least $10 billion in infrastructure and property damage. And all of this was witnessed by millions of people on live television, myself included. But today, on the 21st anniversary of the attacks, it's pretty much business as usual. Pumpkin Spice has made its annual comeback, and there is just a hint of fall in the air. And among all of this, it is numbers time again in the church. This means budgets. The elders at their meeting last week tackled their portion of the budget, and the board of directors and their respective committees have already been hard at work on their numbers. Of course, being good stewards is always something that is extremely important in the church. But numbers are more than that also. They're more than just money. Worship attendance, Sunday school attendance, communion, and so on. We try to keep track of what's happening in the congregation every week. Then at the end of every year, we compile an annual report that goes to the Mid-South District to show activity in the membership specific to right here at Grace Lutheran Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. This is then reported to the Synod to get a snapshot of the health of the LCMS in the United States and in the world as a whole. But this focus on numbers isn't just a modern-day fixation either. The book of Acts has a lot of numbers also. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, records that 3,000 souls were baptized and added to the early Christian church after Peter's sermon at Pentecost. 5,000 believe after Peter preaches at Solomon's portico. And in another place in the book of Acts, it records that the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. In the Old Testament, the book of Numbers has a lot of numbers, hence its title. In fact, God commanded a census. There were 603,550 men at the beginning of the book, 601,730 men at the end. Numbers shows how the hand of God was sustaining his people despite their constant rebellion and rejection of him. But then, the love of numbers can also be a great temptation. King David ordered a census of his fighting men. Now, we don't know his exact motive, but it could not have been good, since God hadn't ordered him to do this. In 1 Chronicles 21, it says that Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number them. And that's from 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. And because of it, the Lord sent a plague, 70,000 men fell dead. But it wasn't the fault of the numbers. Numbers in and of themselves are neither good nor bad. They just are. And like almost all churches, we want our numbers to grow, to fill all of our pews. And rightly so, if it's done with the right motive. After all, that is the Great Commission, to make disciples of all nations, teaching them in the way of our Lord God, which is what he has commanded us to do. But that's what's so comforting about our text for today. Jesus isn't just concerned about filling the pews. After all, he leaves the 99 sheep in the open country. He's concerned about a single sheep. He makes a difficult search for one lost sheep. He's filled with the greatest joy when one lost sheep is found. Jesus shows God's gracious heart in the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and in the parable that follows this, the parable of the prodigal son or the lost son. God delights in seeking and saving one lost sinner. God's word clearly teaches that God so loved the whole world of sinners. Just think John 3:16. In our society, especially now, we seem that we're even more and more isolated. Isolated perhaps even in a crowd. So it's good for us to emphasize the corporate nature of the Holy Christian Church. But these parables also show us that God's love is for the individual sinner. Every single person is important to Jesus. 1 out of 100 sheep is a mere 1%. 1 out of 10 coins, even that is 10%, acceptable loss to some. The number one seems so insignificant to us. But you are more precious in the sight of God than all the gold on the earth. Your soul and your body are precious to him. If you had been the only sinner in the world, Jesus would have died for you. God's love for you is radical, sometimes even ridiculous to our reason or our intellect. To leave 99 sheep alone in the wilderness to seek one makes no sense. It seems irresponsible to us. No bean counter, nobody who counts costs would do such a thing. It's not worth it. It's not worth the risk. We would cut our losses. We would say, well, I still have the 99 that haven't wandered off. I'll just take care of those. But our Lord isn't like just any other shepherd. He's consumed with a passion to save every single lost soul. He won't rest until he's found that one sheep. And as sheep that need finding, that should be a great comfort to all of us. And when the shepherd does find that sheep, he may not react as we would expect. After a long, hard search, upon finding that sheep, he doesn't yell at it. He doesn't scold it. He doesn't tell it that it should have known better or give it a beating to teach it a lesson. No, that reunion is a happy, joyful one. The shepherd is full of compassion for the lost sheep. He doesn't even make the sheep walk home. He carries it on his shoulders, bringing to mind a scripture verse from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lamb in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. He then calls together all of his neighbors, and they have a great party to celebrate together the return of the lost sheep. From verse 6, rejoice with me. for I have found my sheep that was lost. What great joy there is when a sinner repents. What joy God and all the holy angels have when a lost sinner is found. Heaven rings with joy over the repentance of just one. Earlier in the gospel reading in verse 2, we read, "And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Thanks be to God that the Pharisees were right this time. Jesus is constantly welcoming and eating with sinners. He continues to do that in our midst today, feeding us with his own body and blood. I'd like you to think about that in a few minutes. When you kneel here at the communion rail, he's got you on his shoulders. He's carrying you with joy. He just can't wait for the party in heaven to begin. You are that one lost sheep. He has found you. He has worked repentance and faith in you. There is rejoicing in heaven over you today, rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. So instead of getting all wrapped up in the numbers, we need to be content in hearing God's word in all of its truth and its purity, as the people of God living holy lives according to his word. And we should rejoice because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows that we are more than just a number. The Gospel writer Luke wrote in chapter 12, verse 7, that even the hairs of your head are all numbered. But fear not, you are more valued than many sparrows. The prophet Isaiah foretold that, "Behold, I have engraved you in the palms of my hands," from chapter 49, verse 16. And the prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament reading for today wrote, "For thus today the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As the shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness." He goes on to say, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice." And so on this, the 21st anniversary of 9/11, as we remember that awful day and the horrid toll this act of hatred took on humanity, the numbers may have made us question God's love, his providence, and his will. But we never have to question God's love for us with Jesus. You are never just a number. You're a precious lamb. He loves you. He died for you. He redeemed you. He rose again for you. He searched for you. He found you. He and all of heaven are full of joy and are rejoicing over you. On this day and on every day, may you always be reminded of that. In Jesus, our Good Shepherd's holy name, amen.